Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Thank you for joining me this hour. For many New Yorkers, the summer means getting out of the city as fast as possible. But for many members of the LGBTQ community, plus LGBTQ plus community, mapping out your travel plans can raise some important questions. What cultural concerns arise when holding hands with your partner in a foreign place? Where do you find LGBTQ-friendly spaces abroad? How do you know which cities will be friendly, which ones won't? Today, we're asking an expert. Our guest is Julia Cosgrove. She is editor-in-chief at Afar Media, a one-stop destination for travel news, itineraries, and inspiration. Afar recently launched an LGBTQ travel vertical, covering everything from how to find LGBTQ-friendly hotels to advice for trans folk dealing with the experience of airport security. Listeners, our phone lines are open. Do you have questions about traveling abroad? Why LGBTQ plus? How do you navigate LGBTQ spaces while abroad? You want to know your best travel tips? Maybe you want to help out our community? Give us a call at 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. We do have the best callers, Julia.
Yes.
Our listeners are awesome.
I'm sure.
Great questions and often great tips. Okay, so when you thought about this vertical, what was the original thought behind it? And then how did you decide to execute it?
Sure. So Afar is actually celebrating our 10th birthday, 10th anniversary this year. And, you know, when we entered the travel media space, we knew we wanted to do something different. We knew we wanted to really celebrate the diversity of the world. What we didn't know is that we were going to attract this audience of incredible travelers who are always planning their next trip, mm-hmm. who are always on the go, who are really kind of global citizens of the world. And I think for a long time as editor-in-chief, I knew that we had a large number of readers who identify as LGBTQ. But it took a junior editor by the name of Sarah Booter, gotta
Hi,
give
Sarah.
Her a shout out here, to really figure out how we could focus on this growing audience and how we could do it right and not totally on the nose, but give travelers information and resources that they need to make informed decisions. And it was also really important to us that we brought together travel tips and stories both by and for Afar travelers from this community. So a lot of these stories are written by people who identify as LGBTQ. Which I'm really proud of.
So let me back up. So when Afar first started, what type of traveler were you looking to appeal to?
Yeah, our founders and I have been there since the beginning. We really felt like sort of the traditional legacy travel media was either sort of focused on the escapist, Mai Tai on the sand and the beach, and there's nothing wrong with that. I appreciate a good Mai Tai
on
the
beach.
It does. kind of vision of travel, or one that was more focused on sort of the sightseeing bucket list type of travel, where you'd really just sort of tick off all of the things you'd seen in one day and not embrace and celebrate that sort of deeper connection and charge that we get from travel. And you know, the business of travel has changed in the 10 years that Afar has existed. We called it experiential travel back then. We still do. But in many ways, experiential travel has just become parlance for travel.
I always think it's interesting. There's the way you describe the Mai Tai on the beach. There's people who are on, there are vacationers and then there are travelers
yep.
and visitors. And they're two different worlds.
Yeah. And it's funny, you go deep into the Twitterverse and there's endless debates about travelers versus tourists. And I sort of carried that flag for a while. But I think what deeply satisfies me about what I get to do every day at Afar is promoting this this curiosity that exists in all of us about the world and about the people who live in the world. And it's a messy world. And I think the more that each of us can do every day, you know, and it may mean going to a new neighborhood that you've never visited in this city,
mm-hmm.
right? Venturing to a borough you've never visited. But if you kind of take that mindset with you when you step out the door or get on a plane, I think it's a small way of making the world a little bit better.
Well, let's just start with some basics. What are some resources LGBTQ listeners should know about before they even embark on the trip.
Sure. And I'm going to give a hat tip to the writer Meredith Hale here, who, and Meredith, I'm pronouncing it wrong, I apologize, but you did an amazing job with the story that is on our site right now. It contains upwards of 40, I think, recommendations of resources that LGBTQ travelers should know about. You know, it's everything from U.S. State Department, where they offer basic pointers for LGBTQ travelers, to one that I found particularly interesting. It's called Erasing 76 Crimes. And that's a journalist and advocate named Colin Stewart. And it's a news-oriented blog that spotlights global developments related to LGBTQ rights. So again, the more you can kind of inform yourself as you're beginning to either plan a trip, or you're, you know, already en route to somewhere, or you're actually in the destination, the better off you can be. I also want to give a shout out to the International LGBTQ Plus Travel Association. This is kind of a one-stop shop for all things related to LGBTQ travel planning. Queer-approved hotels, transportation providers, tourism boards, travel agencies, runs the whole gamut of the travel experience. And that's just a drop in the bucket. I mean, there's so much here that people should know about.
We'll dive deep in a minute. My guest is Julia Cosgrove from Afar magazine. We're talking about LGBTQ travel, some tips and some guides. If you have any recommendations you'd like to offer, places to go, things you've experienced, or you have some questions, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. So when you think about traveling, what are some of the cultural concerns that people really do need to think about?
Yeah, I mean, I think, gosh, it's another thing that runs the gamut from very base realities. One of our editors is planning to travel to Malaysia with her partner, and when they were talking to some friends from Singapore who are part of their community, their friends from Singapore said, you know, in Malaysia, being gay is illegal. Now, they didn't do their typical kind of research before buying the tickets mm-hmm. to Malaysia, but they did further research and decided they were going to go ahead with it, eyes wide open. So I think that's sort of on the more extreme end. I will say, I've been thinking about this in advance of the segment. Like, when I was growing up, the word tolerance was used a lot in this context. And I think that word has such negative connotations. And the words that we should be using are celebrate and honor and appreciate. And, you know, I was in Bali a couple of years ago with a very dear friend of mine and two women traveling together. And at this lovely resort, one of the Amans, they just assumed that we were a couple. And to me, that was amazing progress. I'm a straight, privileged white lady from California. And there was just this assumption of something that, you know, in some cultures and in some destinations is still forbidden or verboten. And I'll take progress where I see it.
Let's talk to Marie from Brooklyn. Hi, Marie. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm on the bike with earbuds, so if there's ambient noise, I apologize. I just want to say, I remember years ago, so I'm in my late 50s, and I came out in, like, high school, so a long time. And I remember in the 80s having conversations with gay couple friends of mine, and they were like, oh, you have to go to, you know, Turkey, or I'm just using that, I can't remember specifically, but it was a place where, you know, I looked it up, and they, like, you know, stone women for doing whatever, right? And I'm wondering if you've made delineations, and you may have talked about this when I was talking to the screener, but if you've made, like, distinctions, a lot of distinctions between what it's like to travel in different places for gay men as opposed to lesbian couples or lesbian couples with children, which is my case. You know, that, other sorts of things like that. And also, just to say, like, back in the day, before the internet, I would call other queer people and other lesbians in particular and say, have you ever been to this place? Have you lived there? Do you know people who live there? Like, and ask them really, really direct questions about what, you know, how they conducted themselves and how that was received. So, anyway, as I said, I can take this offline because I'm on the bike and it's noisy out here.
And you should be careful, and great questions. And I love that you're a proactive traveler. There, you know, I was interested as I was clicking through some of the research links. It was interesting to see there was one resource that had all the different places that being gay is, where being a lesbian is illegal, where being a gay man is illegal, or both, where it's a fine. And it was upsetting to look at, you know, some places you'd really love to go. Large swaths of Africa, not great places to go, or not welcoming, as you say. What is another good resource in terms of just safety? Is it going to the State Department? Is that where people should check out,
Julia? Yeah, I would start there. There's also something called EqualDex, which launched in 2014, and it's a map anchored website that keeps a running tab on LGBTQ rights related laws all over the world, and it's user users are updating information on a daily or weekly basis. I would also check out the National Center for Trans People, the National Center for Transgender Equality. We're going to talk a little bit about the trans experience later on, but it's interesting to hear you talk, hear the listener talk about just different groups. I mean, that's the thing about LGBTQ encompasses so many different types of travelers,
not a monolith, right?
And so that was my biggest sort of fear with launching this, is I don't want to essentialize everyone. This is not my lived experience. It is the lived experience of numerous editors and writers who are on my team. But we exactly what she was talking about, we're hoping to kind of roll that out throughout the year. I mean, that was another big thing when we launched this. It was like, we're not going to just do this for Pride Month and leave it at that, because that's just a form of whitewashing. So stay tuned.
My guest is Julia Cosgrove from Afar Magazine. We're talking about LGBTQ travel. Afar has just started a LGBTQ vertical. Our phone lines are open, 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. If you have a question or a comment or a suggestion about the topic at hand, Josie is calling us from the Upper West Side. Hey, Josie, thanks for calling.
Hey, Allison. I love the show. I'm a big fan. I just wanted to shout out this island in the Caribbean I went to recently, actually on my honeymoon. It's this spot called Ceiba, and it was just really an amazing experience. I think it was one of the first islands in the Caribbean to legalize gay marriage. So I went with my wife, and we just felt really, really safe. Walking around, the people there are incredibly friendly. It has some of the best scuba diving in the world, but it just was this like oasis. I mean, we took a ferry that was like maybe a 90-minute or even more ride from the Dutch side of St. Martin, and Ceiba is it's a Dutch-owned island. And we got there, and it was like pulling up to Jurassic Park. It was just incredible. So I really recommend it.
First of all, happy honeymoon, happy wedding.
Thanks.
Thanks for calling in, Josie.
I know that Ceiba is a favorite of a lot of my team as well. I will say one of our writers, John Newton, wrote a great piece that's on the site specifically about Caribbean destinations that are good for gay and lesbian travelers. And, you know, there are a lot listed there, but just a few: the British Virgin Islands, Curacao, Puerto Rico, and we're very pro Puerto Rico. They need our tourism dollars these days, and we've got to get that island back. Tourism is such a huge part of their economy. And I have one more. Oh, well, St. Martin. So yeah, those are all great destinations.
Judy has a question for us. Judy's calling us from Chelsea. Hi, Judy. Thanks for calling All of It.
Well, thanks for taking my call. So the story about the two gay women who decided to travel to Malaysia despite the risk, the personal risk to them, raised a question for me. Is it correct for us to spend our tourism dollars in places that have laws that go against our deepest beliefs and principles?
Such an interesting question.
We get into this ethical debate virtually every week at Afar, and you know, different people on the team have differing ideas about it. When we launched, we have an event, a trip series called Afar Experiences, and we launched it after the Arab Spring, realizing that tourism to Egypt and Cairo in particular was going to plummet. And we brought about 40 travelers to Cairo in 2012. And that sort of began this conversation about, you know, going to places where there are dictators in place, where you know the government is corrupt, and more specifically in the context that we're talking about today, you know, if you are worried about your civil rights, safety. And for me, that really, it really comes down to personal choices and sort of personal comfort levels, and everybody's different. I will say that there are a lot of things I'm seeing in the travel blogosphere about boycotting Alabama because of their recent abortion rollback. And I don't know, there are a lot of people who are fighting really hard to get those rights back in Alabama. And so are you hurting them, or are you hurting, you know, government bureaucrats who don't really care about what you think anyway? So it's a thorny issue, and one that I would say doesn't have a clear kind of objective answer.
We were talking before we went on the air about something I found really interesting. The travel guidelines for airport security, specifically for people who are trans or non-binary or gender fluid. And it was really, really well written. I thought it was really clear. It was very factual. If you could share some of that information, Julia, about the experience of going through airport security and some things to know.
Yeah. So this has been written for us by the writer Alex Verman. And I highly encourage all listeners to read it, because it does a really elegant and eloquent way of articulating what this experience is like for trans travelers. And it is not easy. And I just think we're all better people for putting ourselves in other people's shoes. So TSA pat-downs and scans, unpleasant for all of us. Even more unpleasant for people who, you know, don't necessarily fit the blue male or pink female button that the TSA agent must press before a passenger goes into one of the screening machines. If an anomaly is detected, the machine will ring an alarm, which means you'll have to receive additional screening before passing through airport security, often in the form of a pat down, which for any of us can be an uncomfortable experience of humiliation. You know, travelers can request a pat down initially instead of going through the scan. And you can also request an inspecting TSA agent who matches your gender identity. I don't know. I'm a nursing mom, and I've had to travel through the airport so many times have them search everything in my pouch. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine how painful it is for trans travelers who get harassed whenever they go through airport security. There is good information in this piece. It's on our site, afar.com, and I really do encourage you all to read it.
There's also just really good information about what you can bring in a carry-on and what you can't, what fits this rule and doesn't fit rule X. I think it's really worthwhile reading so that you don't find yourself in a situation that would be uncomfortable or threatening.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Randall. Randall is on line 3, and he's calling us from Manhattan. Hi, Randall. You have a shout-out?
Yeah. I work with the population all the time. I've been doing housing in New York City for the last 20 years with the LGBTQ population. And we provide housing for individuals that want short stays if they're traveling around the world. Instead of staying in hotels where you may not know anybody, we try to put them in places where folks know them, they're all right with the community, and they're safe. And they're at the same comparable rates that you would have for a single hotel room where you'd be all by yourself. A lot of times they're business travelers. So you can find me. I work for Nouveau, and my name is Randell. It's R-A-N-D-E-L at Stay Nouveau. That's Stay N-O-V-O.com. You can email me. Tell me what specific needs you need, whether it be somebody to clean your apartment every other week while you're away or at our locations. But we provide these services and tailor them specifically to whatever your needs are.
Randall, thank you so much for the shout out. Before I let you go, Julia, is there anything special going on, a special location going on for Pride that you think people really might want to check out, maybe make a last minute trip, maybe have a weekend, like, let's just go do this?
Yeah. So down in Washington, D.C., the Hamilton Hotel, which recently underwent a huge renovation, they have built out a signature suite in partnership with the museum to celebrate their new exhibit, Rise Up, Stonewall and the LGBTQ Rights Movement. And it was curated and designed by the actor and singer and producer Alan Cumming. And it's just filled with really, really interesting artifacts, front page articles from Newsweek entitled The End of AIDS, Battle Over Gay Rights, the Los Angeles Advocate, and the famous Vanity Fair cover featuring Caitlyn Jenner. So that's down in D.C. And then just in terms of other Pride events.
I love that hotel, by the way. It's my go-to.
It's your go-to. There you go. Well, it's even better. other big events. There's so much happening in New York City this month. They're hosting World Pride. And you could check out NYC and Co. there for, you know, the myriad things that are happening. San Francisco, my hometown, little shout out, hosts a wonderful Pride weekend June 30th. And then international, actually throughout the remainder of the year, Madrid celebrates Pride July 6th, Berlin July 27th, and Taipei later in the year, October 26th. And recently on May 17th, Taiwan became the first country in Asia to legalize same-sex marriage. So if you want to travel your values, be a good place to go spend some money and have some fun.
The name of it is Afar Magazine. Julia Cosgrove, a pleasure to have you here. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much.
Up next, Team Gotham stops by to fill us in on the week's top stories around New York City. More after the break.